your Bibles, if you have them, we'll turn to Psalm 127. Been doing for a while. But since the first of the year, we've been preaching on the family. We started out with the head of the home being the husband, and then we moved on to the help of the home, which is the wife, and how in Genesis, God when he created Eve for Adam, he said it was his helpmeet. And so that's where we got the help from the home. We're going to finish up with the help for the home today in the first part of the message, and then we're going to move on to the heritage of the home. That's the children. So it kind of give you an idea where we're at. I've been given, entitled the whole series of it, Help for the Dysfunctional Family. And we know that sometimes we have to be honest. Things get dysfunctional in our families. And we're using that as an example. Dysfunctional or functional? How do we want our families to be? How would God want our families to be? And so that's kind of what we're doing here in Sunday school. We picked a verse. It's up here on the board, the monitor. And we've used this one each time we started, Psalm 127, and verse 1, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." Our series kind of started with this verse, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And so the Lord is important in our lives, that the Lord builds our house. As I said, we've talked about the head of the home, and we've talked a whole lot last week about the help from the home of the home, and I didn't quite get done, but just to touch on those points, we said about the help of the home, or the lady of the home, the wife. We talked about the purpose of the wife, and then we moved on and we talked about the place of the wife. That's where we were at. And we used an example found in the New Testament in the book of Acts chapter 18 of a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. And we spoke of them last week. And what I was trying to do was develop an example, or use them as an example, for a godly family and how it's, I didn't want to just keep hammering on the women, but to use them as an example, because it takes the head of the home and it takes the help of the home to make the home work together. What makes all that work together is the Lord, knowing Him as your Savior, both husband and wife, working together to serve the Lord. And so we used Aquila and Priscilla as an example. We said, number one, they were united in their occupation. And number two, we said that their home was suitable for the man of God, as Paul the Apostle visited their home, stayed there for quite a while. And we're not going into all the things we talked about there. But their home was suitable for the man of God. And as we use them as an example, we say, are our homes as husband and wife, are we united in occupation, in not necessarily our job, but in what we do for the Lord? As husband and wife, do we have a home that is suitable for the man of God to spend time there if he need be? This day and age, things are a little bit different, but they were a lot different back there in the Bible times where Aquila and Priscilla were. And as Paul traveled, helping get churches started in his missionary journey, he needed some place to stay. There wasn't the Super 8 on every corner for him to stay in, and so he would stay with men and women of God as they would help house him. But would our home be suitable for the man of God? We see that, number three, they were loyal to the man of God. They stuck by him through thick and thin. Number four, they were willing to sacrifice their own lives for their faith. And number five, we saw that they knew their Bible in Acts chapter 18, And verses 24 through 28, we saw that they were able to help even a preacher who they come across to help him and to point him in the right way, in the right direction. So as men and women, and as the head of the home and the help of the home, we need to work together. We need to know our Bible. We need to be so sold out for the Lord that we would sacrifice our lives for him. And this is where we left off last week, is number 6, which is the last point in the outline. And that is, they were willing to use their home for a church. Priscilla and Aquila. You can turn over to the New Testament to, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 16 and verse 19, the Bible says, "The churches of Asia salute you." The Apostle Paul speaking here. "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you in the Lord with the church that is in their house." If you can think back to and imagine this time of day in this culture that they lived in, and way back in these times, the fact that the church was just getting started, and there was much persecution towards the Christians. And yet, Priscilla and Aquila were working together so that they would even offer their place, their house, to be used for the church. It was no small challenge in that day. Persecution was rampant all around them. Ladies, can you imagine if your husband said in a time of persecution, "Hey, you know, the church needs some place to meet, and I think it would be wise for us to have them meet here at our house." What would you say, ladies? Would you be open for that? Would you say, "Well, honey, I don't know. I don't know how we can handle this. What if the police come in? What if, you know, someone comes in and, you know, in this day and time, in Paul's time, they were murdering Christians." But ladies, what would you say if it come to that? "I don't know. None of us know. We can't predict what the future is going to be. Right now things are good in America. I mean, we've got our ups and downs, but, you know, did any of you get stopped on the way here and asked where you were going? I don't think so. Was there a guard out here in front of the church this morning to keep us from coming in? Were there threats everywhere that if you go to that church, we're going to persecute you, we're going to lock you up, whatever?" The Priscilla and Aquila worked together. They even had the church in their own house. It took a lot of working together for the cause of Christ. They were passionate about serving the Lord. Together, they were passionate about serving the Lord. Turn back in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Actually, Ecclesiastes before. I got it out of order. Chapter 4. Solomon, one of the wisest men on the earth, wrote this. Verse 9. "Two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, One will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Priscilla and Aquila worked together. The blessing of God was upon their lives, and they fulfilled what is written right here, the fact that two are better than one. Colby, was two better than one last week when you were puking your guts out? Colby was, he holds the reward for being sick here. But two were better than one. She was there, even though she was probably going. There's probably stories behind this, but nonetheless, you work together. That's just a simple thing. But you work together this morning. Didn't it help a whole lot that she wanted to come to church? Faith didn't help a whole lot that he wanted to come to church. You worked together for the Lord. Priscilla and Aquila worked together for the Lord. They were two were better than one because they have good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. It is good to have someone to help you. Priscilla and Aquila worked together. It was good that they had one another. They together had boldness and confidence in the ministry that God had given them. They worked together in the ministry. They had compassion for other believers. When we were back there in 1 Corinthians, you'll have to turn it back there now, but in 16 and 19, the end of the verse said that Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. The word salute you much is a genuine heartfelt gesture of love and affection. You know, if they didn't convey to Paul who wrote that, their love and affection for the other congregations and the other people that Paul was writing to, the other churches, Paul would have never wrote it. But they were in constant communication with Paul. And I can hear them now. How's brother so-and-so? And how's sister so-and-so? And how's this family? And how's that family? As Paul traveled around, and then they did not travel. He did. And as he would pass with them, see them from time to time, stay with them, no doubt the conversation come up. How's so-and-so doing? How's so-and-so doing? They had compassion, a genuine, heartfelt gesture of love and affection for the brother. They had mutual admiration and love for God's people and God's work. They worked together to make their home functional. Ladies, men, both, you have to work together to make your home functional for the Lord. If you don't work together, we're back to where we started. Dysfunction. The Lord does not operate through dysfunction. He wants things functional. He wants things a certain way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, the Bible says. There's a lot of narrow things in the Bible, especially when it comes to couples and families. A lot of narrow things. Do we want our homes to be functional or dysfunctional? Ladies, as we finish up what we have for you here, my question is, which way do you want it? Do you want to work with your husband to make it work together or not? It is a choice. The Bible is full of choices. Life is full of choices. Now, as we finish up looking at the help of the home there, move on, get a little bit of time, to the heritage of the home. That would be the children. Now this part here, there's going to be a lot of, it's kind of mixed between the head of the home, the help of the home, and the heritage of the home. There's something for everyone in this. When we were, you can turn back, you're pretty close to it, Psalm 127, again, where we started there. In verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." By way of introduction, just to keep things straight again, read a couple verses here. You don't have to turn to them. I've got them wrote down here. Three things by way of introduction. The first thing is the command to the head of the home when it comes to the heritage of the home. The command is to the husbands. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." In Colossians 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." There's a command for the head of the home. There's a command for the help of the home. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." In Colossians 3 and 18, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." And then there's a command to the heritage of the home. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." As we look at the heritage of the home, I want to see several different things here about the heritage. And we'll get started on it here this morning. I don't think we'll get all the way through it. But we want to look at four different things about the heritage of the home. Number one is the definition of children. Number two will be the development of children. Number three is the duties of children. And number four is the discipline of children. You can turn over to, well, you're right there, Psalm 128. You don't have to turn very far. Psalm 128 and verse 3 says, "Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." I recall many times sitting at our kitchen table after we ate supper. We usually try to have some family devotions at that time, and we would read the Bible many times as we would have the children read, myself or my wife would read. But a lot of times we'd have the children read to get them involved, to get them familiar with reading the Bible. But I remember reading this verse and this psalm many times. And I remember making the comment to my children as they sat around the table, "Are you little olive plants?" You know, and we kind of got a kick out of that they were little olive plants. But, you know, I never really thought as much about it until I looked into it in the study. But the olive tree is green. The definition of it is that it's evergreen. It's beautiful. It's beneficial, and it has wealth. Parents, think about your children being evergreen. When you think about evergreen, you know, we talk about an evergreen tree and being the pine tree. Even a cedar kind of stays pretty green around, year-round, but they stick out around here. You know, all the other leaves are gone. Now they've been gone for months, but God chose to make a tree, an evergreen, so that we still had a little bit of color here and there. You know, if it's all just dull and brown, we get really tired of it. You know, when here in a few weeks, as spring will roll around, hopefully, spring will roll around, the temperatures will start to rise, and things will start to change, start to grow and come up. And the next thing you know, you'll see the blossoms all over the trees. And then everybody will have allergies, and we'll have another round of sickness. But nonetheless, as things green up, we realize, hey, you know, it was kind of dull and brown there for a while. But, you know, God chose, even in the trees, to make some that stay green year round. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for our children being likened into an olive tree here. As mom and dad and the family, but as mom and dad go through trials and tests in our lives, the children are involved because we're a family. But sometimes mom and dad will go through something and we'll keep it to ourselves more, not so much involve the children. But God gave us those children because, you know, Angie and I have been through some stuff that really would get us down. But it seemed like the children always had a little bit more, like just, it didn't hit them quite like it did us. I don't know if it's because they're not quite involved in some specific things, but they always seem more positive about it. There's been times when I've just been in despair and not really shared it, but it does come out. It comes out on your countenance sometimes, and you know, and sometimes my children have said stuff to me that basically cheered me up, gave me encouragement. They encouraged me in the Lord, and here I'm supposed to be the one teaching them. But yet, they were evergreen. They had life when I was dried up. They had something that kept us going. They were beautiful. They're beneficial. Children are not a burden. They are a blessing. And they bring wealth. That's opposite, isn't that opposite of what the world says? You can't afford to have children, they'll say. You can't afford to do that. Well, I'm here to tell you, after seven of them, you can survive. And there's still five of them at home, and we still survive. Because God provides when we trust Him. But they are evergreen, beautiful, beneficial. Number two, under the definition of children, the Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord here in Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Heritage here means something inherited, possession. Mom and dad, you have been given an inheritance. If you have children, God has given you an inheritance. You know, it's great in life if you go through life and somehow or another someone leaves you an inheritance. It's a blessing and it should be used for the Lord. But, you know, some look forward to that. Sometimes it just comes and you don't realize it's coming. It may come from some source that you never thought of, but it's inheritance, and we think about that as money. But think about your children, mom and dad. Think about them as an inheritance given to you from the Lord. I think, and I know that God blesses some couples with children and some not. I'm not against you if you don't have children. God is the one who is in control of the womb. He opens and shuts. And I'm not speaking anything against you. I'm just saying that as I teach here on the children or the heritage of the home, we're speaking a lot to parents that have children and to the children as well. But they are given to us for an inheritance. In 127, in 127 of Psalms, it says here in the second part of that verse 3, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Parents, again, children are a reward from God. They're a reward to us. Don't look at them as a burden. You know, I realize that when I speak of this, I'm mostly speaking of people that are in the world, people that haven't trusted Christ as their Savior, and they're not trying to raise their family in the way of the Lord. But many times this world looks at children as a burden. They're holding me back. I can't wait till we're empty nesters, they'll say. I've heard that. I've heard that out of saved people. And that's wrong. Amen. That is wrong. You know, you will become an empty nester one day or another, I'm sure. But, you know, that to me, that's looking at your children as saying, I'll be glad when you're gone. And how could a parent say that? If a parent realized that they were as an olive tree, if they were God's heritage or inheritance, if they realized that they were a reward from the Lord. Parents here this morning, if you have children, know that they are this to you, given by the Lord. I often think about the brother Steve Goolsby, evangelist Steve Goolsby, that came through here several times. Know him well. Most people know him well here. And very comical fellow. I'm going to preface this because I know there's some people here that don't know him. But Brother Goolsby would say this, not about his children, but grandchildren. He said, they are a reward for not killing your own. And it was, you know, to hear him say that from time to time and to see him, I've seen pictures of him with his grandchildren, and, you know, he would never, it's a joke, he would never do that, but, he had quite a challenge there with some of his boys and getting away from the Lord and been through a lot, but the Lord has given him not only children, but grandchildren. So not only children are a blessing or inheritance from the Lord, but then you get grandchildren as you move along. And I can say and testify to that fact now that they are a blessing. I talked to a pastor and his wife come by to visit us last week. We hadn't seen them for years, and they set up a time where they could come by. We had supper with them and have fellowship with them, and we were talking about such things as this, and they said, oh, grandchildren or something else, but great grandchildren. I was like, slow down. Number four, Psalm 127 in verse 4, the Bible says here, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Arrows in the hand of a mighty man. I'll just ask you the question, parents. If there are arrows in the hand of a mighty man, where are you pointing them? Which way are you pointing your children, mom and dad? Are you pointing them in the right direction? Are you giving them an example to follow? Are you showing them the way to go? We'll start here. We've got about 5-6 minutes left. We'll start here with That was the, lost my outline, sorry. That was the definition of children. We'll start out here with number two of the development of children. I know we will not get through this, but we'll make good use of the time that we have. The development of children, the first thing we want to see about that is found over in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verses 1. Let's see here. Yeah, we need verses 9 and 10, but to get the context here, we'll read verses 1 through 10. The Bible says here, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Belpeor, for all the men that followed Belpeor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you the statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?" Verse 8, "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thee, from thine heart, all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." The development of children here, the first thing we want to see is God's plan. Number one here, God's plan involves education. In verse 9, it says to teach them. Teach them, but to teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. He says, I will make them to hear. Parents, bring your children to church. Parents, teach your children the things of the Lord. The Bible commands it. It involves It involves education. It involves exposure. You're going to have to expose them to the Lord. You know, I spoke of us reading at the supper table the Word of God many times. We want to expose our children to the Word of God, to teach them what needs to be taught from the Word of God. It involves experience. Parents, you can't teach your children something that you don't know. If you don't know the ways of the Lord, you can't teach your children the ways of the Lord. Many children leave the home once they turn of age, 18 or so, and they're gone, never to come back again to their family or their house or the house of God. They'll go out. Why? Why do they do this? They do it, number one, because most likely they're not saved. They haven't trusted the Lord as their Savior. But they leave because they don't see anything worth staying for. Mom and Dad, if you haven't given them something worth staying for by the time they're teenagers, they will fly away. It involves explanation, verse 10, that they may learn to fear me. Not only learn that we were not only to learn, but be able to teach their children as well. It says that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. Parents, as we are teaching the heritage of our home, we need to teach them the right ways so that they go the right way in their lives, so that they choose the right way when God comes knocking at their heart's door, when the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, that they'll trust, they'll know that there's a God that they can trust in, to forgive them of their sins. We must teach them these things. As parents, it's our job to follow God's plan in the development of children. There's many more things here that we'll look at about the development of children, but I want to use the time that God gave us there at the end to get into that. It's fleeting away from me. But there'll be more next week, so come back and we'll give you more on the heritage of the home. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for loving us, caring for us. Lord, I thank you for the heritage that you have given me and my wife, the children that you've given us, blessing of you, from you. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us all as parents, Lord, to teach our children the way they should go. The Bible says if we teach them the way they should go when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Lord, we thank you for the promises given in the Word of God. I pray for Pastor now as he comes in the next hour, giving that which he stands in need of. I pray that we'll all have open hearts, be submissive to the moving of the Holy Spirit this morning. We pray that you move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.